Our scripture today comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. You listen as I read aloud. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless the reading of His Word. Now I'm going to ask you to do something this morning, give you a little task to perform. Not all of you may be able to do it. If you can't do it, that's okay. But first of all, I want you, all of you, to stand. Will you stand, please? My God, it's so far so good. I want you to turn around completely and face the opposite direction. Now you can turn around and you may be seated. I'm going to try something else. I want you to empty your wallets and your pocketbook and give all your money to the Lord this morning. Well, that's an interesting little strategy, but why'd you do that? I mean, why did you do what I asked you to do? Because of words, because of the power of the spoken word, and words have changed the world, have they not? They always have. Listen to this. The Battle of France is over. I expect that the Battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. Upon it depends our own British life and the long continuity of our institutions and our empire. Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we can stand up to him, all Europe may be free and the life of the world may move forward into broad sunlight uplands. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this is our finest hour. Now, who spoke those immortal words? Rallying a nation and a world to fight Hitler and win the freedom of billions. And people rallied. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. When we let freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we'll be able to speed up that day when all of God's children black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." And of course, you know who spoke those immortal words, calling a nation to civil rights, to liberty and justice for all, Dr. Martin Luther King. Now this morning, I offer you seven words that I hope through Paul will change your world if you will only believe them and choose to live in the light of their truth. Seven words which are the promise and the power and the hope of God Almighty for every fallen, struggling, discouraging soul on earth. Seven words which are your Maker's gift to your soul this morning. So let's believe them and let's claim them together. Now, one of the questions I want to ask you is, are you free this morning? Imagine being a follower, a Christian follower, living in Rome in Paul's day. Idols to the worship of Caesar were on every corner of every street. Altars venerating Zeus and his pantheon of decadent pagan deities are at every side. 1.3 million people are crowded into the largest city known to humanity, where half of them are slaves. Most of them are living in multi-storied tenements without any running water, without any sanitation, and according to Josephus, only 2,000 people in the entire city own property. History has never known a city more corrupt in its personal ethics. Unwanted children were thrown out with the trash and left to die. Every kind of sexual immorality was licensed, and you did exactly what you wanted to do. Yet the Apostle Paul can say to these Roman Christians, a struggling and often despised minority, many of them slaves and former slaves. He says in verse 17, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You received the gospel of the living Lord, and it has transformed your lives. Now, with that staggering result, he says, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Seven words. You have been set free from sin. This is the past tense in Paul's Greek, meaning completed action, a done deal. This is the gift Christianity alone in all of human history and world religion can give. These words changed the world. They ushered in an era of grace, whereby we no longer needed to fear the irrational wrath of the gods or placate them with our own rituals. They offered us an intimate, personal relationship with the living Lord of the universe. Me and Him, Him and me. They promised us the forgiveness of our sins and eternal salvation of our souls. They became the message which spanned the globe and sparked the greatest spiritual movement in human history. You have been set free from sin. No other religion can make such an offer. None. Buddhists desperately seek to live the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Noble Paths, striving to cease their wrong desires and thus end their suffering. Hindus seek oneness with this fallen world and hope for release only through reincarnation to come in future rewards and present works. And Muslims are convinced that obedience to the five pillars of Islam is the only way to find peace in this world and the reward to which one can come. I don't know if it was much different when I was a middle-aged boy, middle school, Albany. I became a Christian. I went to Sunday school on Sunday morning, followed by church where we sang hymns, sat through a sermon, put money in the offering plate, kind of paid our spiritual bill like we pay the electric bill today. We came back on Sunday nights. Don't forget Monday night visitation. Wednesday night prayer meeting. Sunday morning bus ministry. Youth Bible study. Read your Bible and pray every morning. Be good all day long. You know, what you are is God's gift to you, and what you make of yourself is your gift to God. Jesus saved our soul from hell. Religion and morality were how we repaid Him. We all tried harder to do better. We're still trying harder to do better. Question is it working? You think it's working, Ben? Well, listen to this. You're right there in front of me, you know. You're just a target. Josh McDowell wrote a book entitled The Last Christian Generation. Now, here's what he found out. He documented that in the last 12 months, 93% of America's non-Christian youth lied to a parent. 93% of America's Christian youth did the same thing. 85% of America's non-Christian youth lied to a teacher. 82% of America's Christian youth did the same thing. 76% of America's non-Christian youth cheated on a test. 74% of America's Christian youth did the same thing. So are we better? You've been set free from sin, have you? Well, of course, Satan tempts us to be our own God. Sin affects every part of our lives, so that total depravity is very real for us. But God forgives us of our sins if we confess them to Him. And the Bible says He remembers them no more. Isaiah 43 says He has released us, for grace is greater than guilt. And now, as Paul says, you've been set free from sin. So will you choose freedom? These words change the world. When will they change yours? When will we listen? When will you choose to be who you already are? Verse 19, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. That word offer, translated in the Greek, is a living sacrifice on the altar. And the parts of your body describes every dimension of your life, every part of your being. You once chose to give them in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. But now, since you're following Jesus, you offer them in slavery to righteousness. You choose to enslave them to the holy God of the universe. And when you do that, what's going to happen? It says He will lead you to holiness. Now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God, and the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. You cannot make yourself holy, but God can. You cannot give yourself eternal life, but God can. And eternal life has much more to do with quality than just quantity. You know, the life that lasts forever, beginning now. Beginning now, you can live in the intimate presence of God today, not just in heaven. You can worship Him with unspeakable joy now, not just in paradise. You can experience His life-changing power now, not just in glory. You can live victorious over temptation and free from sin now, not just in eternity. But God the Savior can only save what you entrust to Him. God the great physician can only heal what you're willing to put in His hands. And God, the good shepherd, can lead you to green pastures and still waters only if you will follow. And God, the bread of life, can feed your mind and nourish your soul only if you will receive what He offers. And God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, can be your king only if you will be His subject. You've been set free from sin. That's the promise of God. But you must leave the present. You must stop trying to break down the bars which bind you and the chains which enslave you and the enemies which have captured and imprisoned you. Your key doesn't unlock the lock. Your self-sufficiency, your self-reliance, your strength cannot overcome these enemies. There's only one liberator who can set you free, only one who has defeated the warden of the prison, shattered his bars and broken his chains, only one, and you know who that is. When Jesus began His public ministry, He came to His own hometown synagogue and He began to preach. He opened the scrolls to the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then He rolled up the scroll, returned it to the attendant, and said to that astonished congregation, "Today, Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You have been set free from sin, but only when Jesus sets you free. When was the last time that you let Him do it? When last did you offer parts of your body to Him? When last did you lay every part of your body, your life, on the altar? You know, your past failures, your past victories, your present problems and joys, your future fears and your hopes. When? What temptation is there that you have not defeated? What guilt have you not purged? What hurt have you not been forgiven? What chains are binding your soul? It's really simple. You name them and give them to the Lord. Believe that His grace is greater than all your sins. Believe that His power is greater than the enemy's greatest temptation, that He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And it will be so. On June the 26th, 1963, President John Fitzgerald Kennedy delivered another of the words that changed the world. Standing at the Berlin Wall, he proclaimed, "Ich bin ein Berliner. I am a Berliner," and announced, "Freedom is indivisible, and when one man is enslaved, all are not free." He could not know, because of his assassination, that some 5 years later, the government of East Berlin would rebuke his words by constructing what they intended as a masterpiece of communist engineering and an eternal sign of their superiority over Kennedy's rhetoric and vision. Their Fürstenstrom, hope I pronounced that close to being correct, our television tower, would stand some 1,200 feet above the ground, the third largest building in Europe, and it was built to show the world of the greatness of the communist achievement and vision. But they did not know that when they unveiled their monstrous tower, the sun would strike what they had built and it would reflect a giant cross over communism, East Berlin. Scandalized, they covered their tower with a non-reflective paint. But on the next clear day, the sun blazed its cross again, and guess what? So it does today. On June the 12th, 1987, Ronald Reagan stood close to that spot and said to Mikhail Gorbachev, "Mr. President, tear this wall down." Those communist officials could not know that at the very place beneath the cross, a demonstration would begin on November the 4th, 1989, which would lead to the collapse of that Berlin Wall some 5 days later, beginning within sight of the place where President Kennedy stood on that fateful day. And so President Kennedy's message proved prophetic. Freedom is indivisible. And when one man is enslaved, all are not free. His words changed the world. And his vision of freedom from enslavement was fulfilled under the cross of Jesus Christ. And it still is. Listen to me. You have been set free from sin. You have. I hope you know that. I hope you believe that, because it is the truth. Father, thank you for powerful words that have changed the world. Thank you for the words of your Son who said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished." Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 377, "There Is a Redeemer." You come, stand with us as we sing.